Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is the living Mormon prophet more vital to Latter-day Saints than even their standard works? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are going through Ezra Taft Benson's speech called The 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet, a speech that he gave on February 26, 1980. Now, I know that was a long time ago, but the reason why we feel it's necessary to go through this is because not too terribly long ago, in fact, in October of 2010, two LDS general authorities went through Benson's speech given in 1980, point by point, to probably a great majority of the membership who had never even heard of this speech before, many of whom were probably not even really all that familiar with Ezra Taft Benson or even his legacy. But we are looking at point number two today. Point number two is the second point of following the prophet is the living prophet is more vital to us than the standard works. Now, why would that be somewhat controversial? Well, it's because there have been statements made in the past by LDS leaders that actually say just the opposite, that the standard works is really the guideline. For instance, what does Harold B. Lee say about this?
He says, the Lord has given us in the standard works the means by which we should measure truth and untruth. May we all heed his word, thou shalt take the things which thou hast received, which have been given unto thee in my scriptures for a law, to be my law to govern my church. And that's D&C 4259.
Yeah, and that's by a Mormon prophet. That was Harold B. Lee in a book, Find the Answers in Scriptures. It was an article in Ensign, December 1972, page 3. Now, in Doctrines of Salvation, we find the 10th president of the Mormon Church, Joseph Fielding Smith, saying this. He says in Volume 3, page 203, it makes no difference what is written or what anyone has said. If what has been said is in conflict with what the Lord has revealed, we can set it aside. My words and the teachings of any other member of the church, high or low, if they do not square with the revelations, we need not accept them. Let us have the matter clear. We have accepted the four standard works as the measuring yardsticks or balances by which we measure every man's doctrine. Now, I'm thinking about this, Eric. We did a whole series on the priesthood ban. And in one of the programs, we mentioned how David O. McKay actually pointed to Abraham 126 in the Mormon standard works as the one verse that he could cite that prohibited blacks from holding the priesthood. But yet, in 1978, the Mormon church leadership reversed that position. Should they have done that based on what Joseph Fielding Smith has said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 3, page 203? If the standard works is the yardstick, if the four standard works are the measuring yardsticks or balances by which we measure every man's doctrine, then that would mean that if Abraham 126 in Mormon scripture is the verse that they point to keep blacks from holding the priesthood, why did they override that verse if it carries more weight? I think that's a fair question to ask. But then we get into Bruce McConkie. And Bruce McConkie has what to say about this.
He says it's a Mormon doctrine, page 765. The books, writings, explanations, expositions, views, and theories of even the wisest and greatest man, either in or out of the church, do not rank with the standard works.
Even the writings, teachings, and opinions of the prophets are acceptable only to the extent they are in harmony with what God has revealed and what is recorded in the standard works. But then notice in the next sentence how he kind of reverses himself on this. He says, when the living oracles speak in the name of the Lord or as moved upon by the Holy Ghost, however, Their utterances are then binding upon all who hear, and whatever is said will without any exception be found to be in harmony with the standard works. The Lord's house is a house of order, and one truth never contradicts another. Well, that's not true, at least not in the case of Mormon history. And in the example that I just gave when it came to the priesthood ban, here he is saying that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is going to only confirm that which is true, and that is what is found in the standard works. But at the same time, the Holy Ghost, I guess, can cause a Mormon leader to come up with something else, and yet that's supposed to be considered true as well. What's a Mormon supposed to think about this? I mean, I'm reading through these quotations, and it becomes very confusing very quickly. But then you have, in point number two, the living prophet is more vital to us than the standard works. And this is what Ezra Taft Benson said in the speech.
Yes, President Wilford Woodruff tells of an interesting incident that occurred in the days of the prophet Joseph Smith. So here he's going to quote from conference report, October 1897, pages 18 and 19. This is Benson quoting from Wilford Woodruff, and this is what Woodruff wrote. I will refer to a certain meeting I attended in the town of Kirtland, Ohio, in my early days. At that meeting, some remarks were made that have been made here today with regard to the living oracles and with regard to the written word of God. The same principle was presented, although not as extensively as it has been here, when a leading man in the church got up and talked upon the subject and said, quote, you have got the word of God before you here in the Bible, Book of Mormon, and Doctrine and Covenants.
Let me stop you there. He doesn't mention the Pearl of Great Price here because at that time, the Pearl of Great Price had not been canonized.
Right.
So if you're wondering why he left that out, that's why. Go ahead.
Then he continues and says, you have the written word of God, and you who give revelations should give revelations according to those books, as what is written in those books is the word of God. We should confine ourselves to them.
Now,
end quote.
I might mention, we don't know who the person was that said this. I've read somewhere, and some speculate that it was probably Joseph Smith's brother, William. I haven't confirmed that. But again, here what we have is this person is giving instructions to the leadership on what they're supposed to come up with as far as revelation. Go ahead.
And Woodruff continues in his story. When he concluded, Brother Joseph turned to Brother Brigham Young and said, quote, Brother Brigham, I want you to take the stand and tell us your views with regard to the living oracles and written word of God, end quote. Brother Brigham took the stand, and he took the Bible and laid it down. And he took the Book of Mormon and laid it down. And he took the Book of Doctrine and Covenants and laid it down before him. And he said, quote, there is the written word of God to us concerning the work of God from the beginning of the world almost to our day. And now, said he, when compared with the living oracles, those books are nothing to me. Those books do not convey the word of God direct to us now, as do the words of a prophet or a man bearing the holy priesthood in our day and generation. I would rather have the living oracles than all the writing in the books. End quote.
Listen to what's going on here. You have not only Ezra Taft Benson citing Wilford Woodruff, but in the story, you have Joseph Smith calling upon Brigham Young. And what goes on in this is he lays these books down and then he says that those books are nothing to me.
Wow.
Those books do not convey the word of God direct to us now as do the words of the prophet or a man bearing the holy priesthood in our day and generation. This is supporting what Ezra Taft Benson is bringing up in point number two, which seems to conflict with the verses or the quotes that we cited earlier in this show. He goes on, Joseph Smith says to the congregation, Brother Brigham has told you the word of the Lord, and he has told you the truth. What does that tell you, Eric? That tells you what?
He's siding with what Brigham Young has said, that the standard works are not as important as the living prophet.
And since it's being told by Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president, in a conference message, it seems to tell us that Woodruff agreed with what was being said there. And then you have Ezra Taft Benson quoting it again in the 14 Fundamentals speech, showing that he obviously agrees with that statement. Yet how many times have we had Latter-day Saints tell us that if it's not in the standard works, it's not considered to be scripture, it's not considered to be binding? numerous times we have had Mormons tell us this.
Well, what would be the purpose then, Bill, of having living prophets for today? Because that is the one criticism that they'll have against the Christian church. They'll say, well, where are your prophets and apostles to lead you and guide you and let you know what God's revelation is? Well, what's the purpose of having them if we're supposed to just go by the standard works and we can pretty much figure that out for ourselves?
And we do know that modern Mormon leaders have contradicted what has been written in the standard works. Certainly a lot of them don't believe what the Nephites allegedly believed in the Book of Mormon. So we are left with this very confusing message. I've often said to Latter-day Saints that tell me that you can only get doctrine from the written word, the standard works, the Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price. If they really hold to that minimalist position, then really what they've done is they have made their living prophets nothing more than latter-day commentators. That's really all they are. Well, so what? Don't they believe that that's all that we have? I mean, they would say, you don't have living prophets that guide your church today. No, we do have the living Word of God. We do believe the Word of God guides us and instructs us. If you're going to say that they can't come up with anything really new, and that's what some of these leaders have implied, I wonder if they really believe it in their heart, but they've certainly implied that, then really all they are nothing but Latter-day commentators. They cannot go out without the bounds, outside of the bounds, of their own scripture. They can only elaborate on what it already says. But we see in their own history that they've conflicted with that many times. The polygamy issue. Section 132 in the Doctrine and Covenants is very clearly understood to be the pronouncement when it came to celestial marriage or plural marriage as it was understood back then. Now the Mormon Church has kind of redefined what celestial marriage is and merely confine it to marriage in the next life for time and eternity. But that's not how it was understood back then when it was written. Still, in order to abandon polygamy, they had to go against what their own scripture had to actually say on this.
So who are we to believe?
That's the dilemma for a lot of Latter-day Saints. Who do you actually believe if the living prophet is more vital to you than the standard works?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic in the state where we live. Oftentimes, we may feel frustrated in understanding what is perceived to be the state religion. If you are a Latter-day Saint who needs some honest answers to your questions, or perhaps you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the predominant religion in this culture, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be your resource on truth. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry founder Bill McKeever has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the historic Christian faith. At www.mrm.org, we have an active blog site, dozens of articles and video tools that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live presentation to equip your church body to be ambassadors for Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website, again, mrm.org. We're here for you.